praise his name. Let's stand together, if you will. Just bow our heads as we open the service. Glorious Heavenly Father, oh God, it's such a wonderful privilege to, Father, be able to feel that draw and nudge in our hearts. Lord, that desire to fulfill all your word. Lord, even to the gathering together. Lord, it's your grace and mercy. Father, it's a gift from you that we don't deserve. I know I've never earned it, Lord, but it's your mercy. And I truly praise you and thank you for it. Bless the service tonight, Lord. Each and every one that's gathered here may be listening. Pray, Lord, that you would just look into our hearts and feed us of thy word. Lord, that we may draw closer to you in this late hour. Have your way now, Lord. We ask in your precious name, your Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Praise his name. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Amen. I like starting our Only Bleed books, 169. I love this song. It's such a wonderful. Oh, my heart sings today, sings for joy and gladness. Jesus saves, satisfies, banishes my sadness. Guilt is gone, peace is mine, peace like to a river. Amen. Wonderful and mighty to deliver. Oh, he's wonderful, wonderful. Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, Almighty God is he. Oh, he's saving me, keeping me. Oh, thank you, Lord. Amen. Wonderful is my Redeemer. Praise his name. Oh, once a slave, now I'm free. Free from condemnation. Jesus gives liberty and a full salvation. Now the sins of the past have been all forgiven, and my name's inscribed upon the book. Amen. Oh yes, he's wonderful, wonderful. Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, Almighty God is he. Oh, he's saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise his name. Oh, living here with my Lord in a holy union, day by day, all the way, holding sweet communion. Oh, what change grace has wrought in my lowly station, since my soul's received that boy. Amen, hallelujah. Oh yes, he's wonderful, wonderful. Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, Almighty God is he. Oh, he's saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise his name. Amen. Is he wonderful to you? Praise his holy name. Amen. Over page 8. Amen. Same books there. Oh, I want to see him. Amen. Are you looking forward to that day? Oh, what a day.
As I journey through the land, singing as I go, pointing souls to Calvary, to that crimson flow. Many arrows pierce my soul from without within, but my Lord leads me on through him.
Amen.
And oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, oh man, last, ever to rejoice. When in service for my Lord, dark may be the night, but I'll cling more close to him, he will give me light. Satan's snares may vex my soul, turn my thoughts hearts aside. But my Lord goes ahead, leads whatever betide. And oh, I want to see him. Oh, hallelujah, what a day. There to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. When in valleys low I look toward the mountain high, and behold my Savior there, leading in the fight. With a tender hand outstretched toward the valley low, guiding me, I can see as I amen. When oh, I want to see him look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. When before me billows rise from the mighty deep, then my Lord directs my bark, he does safely keep. And he leads me gently on through this world below. He's a real friend to me. Oh, I love him. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I want to see him look upon his face. There to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Here's all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. Amen. Oh, I'm looking forward to that day, saints. Amen. More and more. The capstone books, if you turn with me, and just page 7. The unclouded day. Oh, what we have to look forward to.
Oh, they tell me of a home far beyond the skies. Oh, they tell me of a home far away. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day.
Amen.
And oh, the land of a cloudless day. Oh, the land of an unclouded sky. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day. Oh, they tell me of a home where my friends have gone. Oh, they tell me of that land far away, where the tree of life in eternal bloom sheds its fragrance.
Amen, Lord. Amen.
And oh, the land of the cloudless day. Oh, the land of an unclouded sky. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day. Oh, they tell me of the King in his beauty there. And they tell me that mine eyes shall behold where he sits on the throne that is whiter than snow. In that city that is made of gold.
Amen.
And oh, the land of a cloudless day. Oh, the land of an unclouded sky. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day.
and oh, the land of an unfinished thing. Oh, the land of an unclouded sky. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds ride. Oh, they tell me of an unfinished thing. Hey, man, sing it again. And oh, the land of cloudless day. Oh, the land of an unclouded sky. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day.
Amen, all saints. What we're looking forward to, and it's just around the corner. Amen. Praise his name. Brother Hamilton, you come up. Precious Jesus. That's the blessing of you.
Flow of your wisdom down to everything we do.
Yes.
We give you all praise and glory for bless us all through to that big new king. Jesus, name we pray.
Amen. The little course, he's everything to me. He's everything, he's everything to me. He's everything, he's everything to me.
He's my father, my mother, my sister and my brother. He's everything to me.
Amen.
Oh, he's everything. He's everything to me. He's everything to me. He's my father, my mother, my sister, and my brother. He's everything to me.
Amen. Have somebody on your heart. Amen. Let's just bow our heads. Brother Josh, would you take the request this evening? Be seated. Amen. Would somebody have a special on your heart? Praise his holy name. Amen. Would you have something tonight, Karen? Alrighty. Well, let's all stand then. Amen. Sing a little chorus, Only Believe. Let's ask our brother to come.
Only believe.
You love him?
Yes.
Amen. As we bow our heads, precious Heavenly Father, we're grateful for the opportunity to come this evening and Lord, to gather around your precious word and Lord, just praying that these things you've laid upon my heart, that Lord, you would help me in some feeble way to deliver them, Lord, that it would be strengthening, Lord, and encouraging to your little bride. And Father, we just ask your blessings upon your word, Lord, and just move me out of the way. And Lord, we just ask that you would bless our hearts to the hearing of your precious word. And Father, we'll never see or fail to make sure you receive all the glory and the honor for it. In the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. He is so wonderful. Amen. It is. I apologize if it feels a little warm in here. Our temperature gauge had messed up back there, and so we had to turn the heat on to get the temperature back up, so it'll cool down in just a moment and maybe get a little more comfortable for everyone. But while you're still standing, if you would, let's turn over to 2 Peter in the 3rd chapter and read a verse of Scripture, and then we'll kind of go into a little thought this evening. Just praying, it's been on my heart, some of these things all week, and it's just, I just pray that it'll mean something to you. You know, it's some always, you never know sometimes when you go to, you feel something tugging at your heart to read things, but God's got a purpose in everything. Amen. But here in 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, and let's just start here at the 13th verse for now. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these sayings, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. May the Lord bless you in his word, and you may be seated. As we think about where we are today, and you know, I'm going to read a couple scriptures, but just thinking about it in a different light. And you know, you think about the scripture, and we quote it often as we realize we are living in the last days. And living in the last few moments of time, and it's a dark, perilous time. And how it's sobering to that little bride to see that. But yet, also, even during those dark and perilous times, that Comforter said he would never leave us nor forsake us. And so it's a time to be watchful, and the scriptures definitely, there's many, many scriptures that we could read that shows that attention that should be in the heart of the bride, in the heart of that little elected that's looking and looking for that day that's coming, our Lord's return. And realizing all that's going to come and take place. Yes. And you know, we realize the scripture speaks of it was in the days of Noah, and that it would be at the days of the coming of the Lord. But they were, you know, and I believe that was in, it's in, I'm sorry. It was in Luke 17:27 where Jesus said that. He said, and as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day Noah entered into the ark. Yes. And the flood came and destroyed them all. But you know, the message had went out. Noah was preaching his heart out for 120 years. And I want you to think about that as we look at where we're standing today. God sent a prophet in this day. Yes. And truly sent out a message to grab the attention of that bride. Yes, and now we look around us, and many come out at the beginning to hear the message that was brought. And many begin to step back, and I don't know about that. That's just awful far. That's out there awful far. And as time goes on, there seems to be more scoffers and more scoffers. And it's just got to a place to, you know, everybody's churchgoers, and everybody's hyped about going to church. But who is truly looking for the promise that was to come with that appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ? Yes. Returning to catch a waiting bride away. Yes. That was why a prophet was sent, to call that little bride's attention and to have her make herself ready. Yes. For the Lord to come again. And how, as we hear these things, how it ought to stir our hearts to realize the grace and mercy God has shown to individuals. I can't speak for everyone. You've got to apply it to yourself and see. But, you know, in Luke, in Mark, the 13th chapter, when Jesus was speaking, if you want to turn there and read this with me, just to think about these scriptures as the Lord was speaking. But I want you just to think about it and don't never lose the seriousness of the hour. And I'm not here to try to downplay the seriousness, but I want you to look at the promise that's in God's word for the believer.
Yes.
And if you can identify as a believer, this scripture can mean a whole lot more to you than it can to someone else that can't toe the mark. But here in the 19th verse of Mark 13th chapter, "For in those days shall affliction such as was not from the beginning of the creation which God created unto this time, and neither shall be. And except the Lord hath shortened those days, no flesh should be saved. But for the elect's sake," just listen, "for the elect's sake whom he hath chosen, he hath shortened the days. For false Christ and false prophets shall arise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. But take ye heed, behold, I have foretold you all things." I want you to think about that. And then if you think about John, "when the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and he'll bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you." And as you look at the promise that we have, there is a people that's not being sidetracked by all that's happening around us. And we're not being... our mind is not caught away with, well, so-and-so said it like this, and so-and-so says it like this, and so-and-so says you got to believe it like this. All these things that are happening, and you can think about the things our brother, our pastor brought on, just how people are trying to do away with the fivefold ministry. God sent that as he brought that for the edifying. And you can truly see where God places that ministry, the growth that is taking place within that little bride, wherever they're housed all over this earth. That's God's provided way. And it works just like every other word. God, heavens and earth will pass away, but my words will never fail.
Amen.
And as you think about these things, and to think that God loved us so much that he knew, and even in his great mind, the plan that he had, if the days weren't shortened, not even the elect would have been saved.
Right.
But he shortened those days for me and for you,
yes,
that by his mercy and grace, those of us that have our attention truly drawn to the purpose for which we are sent, and watching and loving and looking for that appearing, it's going to catch our attention.
Yes.
But you know, sometimes if you look around and listen to what's being preached and what's being brought, you don't hear much about preparing for the coming of the Lord. And if you'll listen, it's all about hyping just the church.
Mm-hmm.
They just want to see the mighty things happening in the church. They're not looking for the promise that God sent and the purpose for which we were sent. But they got their eyes on the glamour that's taking place all around and looking in a rearview mirror and trying to live in a time that God used and placed here for a purpose and a time. But God didn't do away with none of his gifts. They're all still right in here. Every word is just continuing him, growing him into the fullness of the stature of Christ till he could have the full preeminence in a body of believers. Think about it, saints. We're living in a time where this one wants to take this word, and this one wants to take that word. But we've been called to the fullness of Christ's stature. We've been predestinated to be conformed to the very image of his Son, to make sure that every action would declare him in this generation. And oh, as we see the time we're standing, what a joy ought to be in my heart. What a praise and what a thanksgiving I should have as an individual if I can truly see that by God's grace my eyes have been opened to the age in which I'm living.
Amen.
And I am not all entangled in the cares of this world.
Right.
And I'm not entangled in trying to plan for tomorrow of what tomorrow may hold for me.
Right.
But I rest in the peace of knowing that I was sent for a purpose. And I know that everything that's happening around us, I don't have to worry about being involved in all the politics of the land and trying to make sure I'm voting to get this person in or voting to get that person in. It's all in his hands. God has got a plan, and it's working right on time and right on schedule. But how many are failing to realize, just like Noah, is he 120 years, I'm sure about 40 years in, they were just like, I wished he would be quiet. I wished he'd quit. Wish we didn't have to hear that. But God had put a drive in his heart that every day, it didn't matter, swing the hammer and work on a boat and preach a message the same. Get ready, it's coming. And God has put that into the heart of that fivefold ministry. They are going to pound this message all the way till that little bride gets right to where she's supposed to be today. And you may say, I get tired of hearing that I've got to be born again. I get tired of hearing that I can't have this and I can't do that. And I get tired that the word steps on my toes every time I try to do this thing. But God is watching over his own. And oh my, that little bride, there's something in there every time that word comes forth. And it may strike a sharp little spot. But oh my, there's just something in there that's just saying, that's what I've been waiting on.
Yes,
and oh my, there's a gene, there's a desire down inside there. There's a bubbling, a stimulation raising up. And you say, oh, is that so? Just think of the little woman at the well. Jesus standing there telling her deepest, darkest sins. And how, where her life was and all that was wrong. And did you think for a moment, yes, she felt bad that she had to stand there and say, you spoke the truth. But something was clicking in there. She seen and recognized, oh, he's got something for me. And oh my, each time we come into this precious word, that's exactly how it ought to be in our hearts and in our lives and our approach to God and to this precious word. It's not, well, you know, why don't we preach on these things or those things? God is trying to get that little bride ready and we're running out of time. Don't you think Noah, every day that he went by, I'm sure he started feeling a little more pressure and a little more heat to make sure he was doing and trying his best to get their attention and make them understand what was coming. But oh, it wasn't meant for them. But there is a predestinated seed that's been sent on this earth to be a recipient of God's precious word. And oh, if you can truly see that identification taking place in you.
Yes.
You think of all the messages the prophet brought. And you know, sometimes we don't stop. And I was listening to the end time side. End time sign is the end time sign seed that he preached after the original word is the spoken seed. I probably messed that up, but you know where I'm going. So, but just look at all God has done and revealed this plan and laid it out to us. Why? Because just think of this. Let's turn over to 1 Peter. 1 Peter. We'll just go to the second chapter. Yes. You know, and I was listening to, I can't remember the man's name that reads the King James Version, but I was listening to Colossians. And just listening to it be read as a whole, you know. But I got to thinking as Paul, you know, as he was writing that. In his heart, he was conveying this message. And so today, you know, somebody can just read it like that. Like, oh, it's just a letter. Let's just read it. But to the recipients of that letter at that time, they were feeling what Paul was pouring out because they were in the same spirit. They had a kindred spirit. And as that was coming forward, they were just eating it up. And Paul was pouring his heart out because he knew where it was going. And sometimes that's how, when the word's coming forth, if you're not truly, really wanting to be a recipient, it's just words. It's just time filler. It's just, he's just reading the same thing over again. He's repeating himself. But oh my, I think of how many times Peter and Paul repeated themselves in their letters and in the things they wrote. But they wanted that little bride to get the message. And how today we should not find it irreverent or think it funny if something gets repeated 2, 3, 4, 5 times in the same service. How it ought to strike our hearts is like, well, seems like he's been on the same subject for 10 services. Why can't we get on to something else? Not till God says it's over. You know, I've never seen an age, as I was telling Brother Paul Sunday, of people want to judge the ministry for what they preach. I think he should have preached this. I think he should have preached that. I said, when God lays something on any minister's heart and he takes it to the platform to bring that, he's got to take it exactly the way God delivered. And it don't matter who likes it or who doesn't or who thinks it could have been done some other way. God's got to deliver it the way God put it forth. And you know, God will bring the increase. It's not up to the man to see the church jumping. It's not up to the man to see the people living it. He's to preach the truth and God will give the increase where it's needed. And you watch it happen every time. But oh my, you watch when someone gets in in their self. You might see a jumping service. You might have people screaming and shouting, hollering amen. And as Brother Branham showed us in that quote our pastor read last Thursday night, they went right out the door and one just went right back to the hog wallow. Never changed a bit. But oh, you sure enjoying the service. But oh my, but there is a people, a genuine, that's been predestinated to that straight and narrow way. Amen. Here in the 25th verse of the first chapter of first book of Peter, and just Peter starting here, he's ending this chapter, but he says, "But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. And wherefore, laying aside all malice, and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby." Oh, how many are truly desiring? Amen. Do you desire the true, sincere milk of the word? Amen. You want the word to be brought to your attention? Amen. And you're looking for what God to give you? Is that what you feel like every time you come in a church service, you're coming in the doors, whether it be here, wherever you may gather? Do you come in with that on your heart? Lord, I am desiring what you have for me today. Is that the approach we take, or do we often forget we're coming to church till we're halfway in the door and we're sitting down and then it's like, oh, we're finally at church. We made it. You know, what's our approach to God as we come? This is just a building. But God knows our heart as we're coming, knowing and realizing the purpose for which we're gathering. Yes. Together under his presence. Mm-hmm. He says, "If so be ye have tasted the Lord, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Yes, ye also as lively stones are built up in a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. Yes. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallow, the same is made the head of the corner, a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed." And so some hear the same word, and to them it's a rock of offense. It's a stumbling block. And they just wrestle it and fight it, and oh, they just can't take it when it comes in a cutting manner. They just can't take it when it's pointing out their sin. They just can't take it when they realize it's pointing to the life of Jesus Christ being reproduced today. We don't have to go that far, and oh, it just, they just don't want to hear those kind of things, and it becomes just a rock of offense to them. He says they were disobedient where they were appointed. "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into this marvelous light. And all saints, which in times past were not that people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." And oh, how we should feel that burning in our hearts. We've been chosen. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Sure. When God sent a prophet to lay out this and to bring it back into its fullness and to call our attention to the great plan of God, mm-hmm. and to truly show what was taking place and why God's done all that he's done from Genesis down through, and to realize now we're standing at the closing moments of time, what a joy ought to be burning in our hearts. To realize when this world crumbles, what we have waiting for us and what's coming to those that are loving and longing his appearing, looking yes. to and watching for and looking at the word with that approach in our heart. God said he wouldn't lose none of his. We pray for each and every one. We do all we can to stay in the spirit and give God the opportunity to lead us and to guide us, to help those that we may help along the way. But we must know this, he won't lose none of his own. And we must press this battle and keep moving forward, for we must be moving in time with Jesus Christ. And not, well, let's just hold off a little bit longer and maybe this will happen. Hold off just a little bit, this will happen. God's got it all in his time. And it'll happen exactly the way he wants it to happen. But oh, may we truly think about where we are and what we've been given. And you know, Paul, in Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, if you want to read it with me, it's very familiar. We've read these things many times. But as you read these things, it's a warning. But I want you to think about the blessing as Paul is addressing this to the church. And how he puts it here in 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians in the 5th chapter. I'm sorry. 1 Thessalonians in the 5th chapter. I can't. Trouble with my eyes here. Let's see. Amen. But just listen as Paul is reading these things. And we can just back up to catch what he's saying about the 15th verse of the 4th chapter. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them that are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. But of the time and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. And you know, as we talk about that, and how it's become the common, you know, Brother Branham told us to keep an eye on that king of the north, to look out for Russia. And all this time, people have had that in their mind. And then all of a sudden, you see a little conflict rise up. And a little country like Ukraine looks like it's just whipping the socks off of them. And you know, it's funny how people will now go around saying, we ain't got nothing to worry about Russia. They ain't got nothing. We don't have to worry about them. They ain't nobody. You know, and I don't know how that'll play, but a prophet said to watch the king of the north. And God showed us many things through that prophet, and he kept saying, Russia. But people have got to think, oh, now they're secure. We can handle them. People are getting into that thing where America's at its best it's ever been. Stock market's great. Money is in the bank. We got food to eat. Store shelves are full. Buy what you want, get what you want, go where you want. Have we ever had it so good? But God's word is still standing by saying the end of all things is at hand. Yes, and oh, may we not be caught up in a slumber and a sleep to think and lay out there of, oh my goodness, what's going on? And as Paul put it here, but when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. But ye are children of the light, and children of the day, and we are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Oh my, how much more should we be focusing our attention to the word of God? Watching every moment for what the Spirit may want to do, move wherever it wants to go. Yes, keeping our eye trained to be in tune with the Spirit and crying out to God for a greater revelation. An understanding of every word that's already been delivered to us. To make sure we fully understand and to fully be guarding up ourselves and watching over each and every action that we make. And I thought I had it with me, but I may not. But bearing in mind as well the scripture where Paul said, we dare not make ourselves of the number to compare ourselves with ourselves. But we're looking at God's balance. We're looking to God's word and truly measuring ourselves up, looking for that same life that was produced in that Bible is living through me. Why? Because a prophet told us, if you say he's been revealed to me, and that same life doesn't express through you, you've got the wrong revelation. And oh, how we should soberly guard ourselves and watch ourselves, watch our lives, weigh it in the word, continually in prayer, daily. Lord, where am I at? Is there something I need? Lord, is there something I'm not seeing? Am I not living the way you would have me live, Lord? Instead of making sure that we're not turning our attention, so many have forgot. that there's going to be a coming of the Lord. They've laid that aside. It's just church going. It's bees all worked up in the spirit and jump and shout and scream and run all over the church and do this and go out and live like Satan himself, and they don't care. And they've got the same word. They're hearing the same message that's being preached. The same as when Noah was standing there preaching and telling them. 120 years they heard the same word, and they turned a deaf ear to it. And oh my, may we truly be a people that's saying, thank you, Lord, for eyes to see. And let me have my attention truly drawn to this fact. That Lord, I was sent here not just to live as an American citizen and not just to be a churchgoer. But Lord, I am preparing to be caught away in the moment of a twinkling of an eye. I will make sure that one day I'm just going to lay this old robe down. That's the only thing I'm changing, saints. Remember that. Oh my, won't it be wonderful there? Hallelujah. We're looking forward to it. But let us who are of the day be sober. He says, therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Yes. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. Oh my. Amen. May we truly remember these things and pray for one another, strengthen one another, that oh my, we would keep our focus and our attention and to be sober, be vigilant. Our adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And how we see him trying on every side to sneak in. Yes. Here a little, there a little. And if he can't get into a preacher, it's just every little thing is just a little twisted word here. Well, I don't quite have to be like that. Don't quite have to be. I don't know if it means that or not. How simple and sly it becomes. Yes, and how we must always be on guard and watching. But oh, may we know that we're standing here with the ultimate right here. Oh, how that ought to burn in our hearts. Amen. This is in the, amen. This was in the message, His Unfailing Words of Promise, paragraph 33. And this was preached January 20th, 1964. He says, and Christian friends, tonight, in this great scruple in the scriptures that people think is scrupled, we're now living to see everything that he has said here is fulfilled. Just the next thing is for his coming. Israel's in her homeland. She is her own nation. She's got her own money, own flag, a member of the UN. She is just a nation, the first time for about 2,500 years since she has been a nation. And Jesus promised that the generation in the Bible, a generation is allotted 40 years, and for the time Israel become a nation unto 40 years, somewhere within that time he will come. And if that is true, then it brings the coming. Well, another thing, every 2,000 years something has happened on the earth, and politics and everything give out. God had to send help from heaven. In the first 2,000 years, the world was destroyed with water. And the second 2,000 years, Christ come. And this is 1964, and they claim that we're 17 years short on that. Now you see, it's at the door. The next thing is watching for the coming of the Lord. All other signs are blending right in with it. And so that's why tonight that I try to get the people to stay exactly on the promised word. Just what the word says, stay right with that. And when I come to Christ, I knowed I had to have a foundation somewhere to stand on. And I was ordained in the Missionary Baptist Church. And then when I seen the doctrine of the Missionary Baptist Church was so contrary to the scripture, then I could not place and base my hopes upon the doctrine of the Missionary Baptist Church. And then thought I would go over to my mother's church, and she was a Methodist, and I thought I would go over there, and I found again. So I knowed that if Jesus come for the Methodist people, he would sure leave the Baptist. And if he come for the Baptist, he would leave the Methodist. But I found in both groups fine people. And I knowed if he come for a church, which church would he come for? 900 and something different organizations. He isn't going to judge the people by the church. He's going to judge the people by Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is the Word. St. John, the first chapter, said, in the beginning was the Word. And when God in the beginning, before it was a word, it was a thought. And then in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and it was all God. Then as God gave out his word, what would be predestinated his church before the foundation of the world, it would appear before him without spot or wrinkle. And the timepiece is moving right on down. And it will be there, a church, a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. And I'm trusting that we're all here tonight, members of that church. And that there's only one way to enter that church, not by any denomination, but you enter it by a new birth. And I want you to think about how the Holy Spirit has pressed the new birth to us. Truly showing us where we must stand. And you know, I look back over our life and see the path that we've traveled, many of us, to get where we are today, to where there's nothing out there that entices me if it didn't come from the pages of God's word and what that prophet said. I'm not interested in someone's new revelation. I'm not interested in somebody's interpretation, but what exactly what was spoken to us through the precious word. And each one of us as an individual, how that ought to be in our hearts. So many people were, I know they believe it like this, but that's okay. They'll be, you know, it's fine. No, saints, God's word is precious. And what he said he meant. When you look back through the examples we have in the Bible of the many times God gave his word and the people didn't obey. Look at the anger that it caused in him. Go back and read of the children of Israel, the many times and the places. God is not going to let anyone slide by disrespecting his word. He meant exactly what he said, and it's going to take place just like that. And there's no room for my feelings or my interpretation or what I feel. God's going to hold true to every word that's written in here. And each one of us is an individual. If we can truly line up and realize that by God's grace, I've been born again. I can see the actions and the declaration going forth from my life. That I am an overcomer by his grace and what he's done for us. Not what I've done to myself. He told us he predestinated that church to be there without spot or wrinkle. He placed the equipment inside of every believer to bring them to that place. But each one of us have got to come to that realization. God means what he says. And we've got to toe the mark 100%. And if we're not, then now is the time, while there's yet time, to make our way to Calvary and get it straightened up and taken care of now. While time remains. Oh my, Noah knew that. Think about that as he was preaching, knowing that rain was coming. He didn't let up. He was telling them. But it was too late one day when the door was shut. And now is the day of salvation. And may we truly not heart and take and hearken to God's word and his voice. And make sure we're making our preparations now to leave this world. Amen. Not hesitating, not looking at someone else. But it's me, Lord. I'm making sure that my ticket's punched and I'm ready and waiting for that train to come in. Oh, may we truly listen and take heed to the things the Holy Spirit is bringing to our attention. You know, you can take so many things and just all of the word together. Even the word we heard Sunday for the communion service. How we should truly honor and reverence and respect Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. Amen. Brother Branham had said this in Leadership, December 7, 65. He said, as Moses called a nation out of a nation, Christ today is calling a church out of a church. You see the same thing in type, taking them to a glorious, eternal, promised land. Now to refuse that person that's doing the calling, Christ, no matter if you're Pentecostal, Methodist, Lutheran, whatever you are, you've got to this age. Nothing against them, not at all. But in this age now, you've got to accept, like they did in that age, the person of Christ, which is the Word. And he goes on in the beginning, he repeats John 1:1. He says, Hebrews 13:8, see, you must accept the person of eternal life. And what life Luther had was justification, and Wesley had sanctification added to it, and the Pentecost had the restoration of the gifts coming back in it. But now it's completing in the body. You see the three phases of it out of that. And then when the resurrection comes, the life that lived in them Lutherans that went out, the life that lived in the Methodist and went out, the life that went into the Pentecostals, will all be raptured out of the ground in the body of the bride to be taken before Jesus Christ. Glory to God. Oh, it's exciting. It's the truth, he says. We've turned a corner and we're looking towards heaven. Yes. We're watching for the coming, the cap on the pyramid, as we would say. He is coming back. And the church must be resurrected soon and we must be ready. And the only way you can is not say, I belong to the assemblies and I belong to the oneness or the two-ness or whatever it is. And all of them here, I belong to the church of God. That don't mean a thing. Our fathers shouted and danced. That's just perfectly all right. That was their day. But today, you're confronted not with the organization that they made, but with the life that's going on, which is Jesus Christ. And who is he? The Word for today. Amen. And all may we truly be a people that's looking to him. Truly weighing ourselves in His precious Word. Yes. And making sure that we're looking for that. Not just sidetracked, well, I've got all my life to get ready for that because I'm building this and I'm going to buy that and this is going to happen and we got to do this or this hasn't happened yet so the rapture's still a long way off because it can't come till this is over. Oh, many thought there in Noah's time, there ain't no rain up there. We proved, scientifically proved there was no rain up there. Think about it today. They're doing the same thing. We've proven that Brother Branham misspoke. That's already happened. That took place back here and that took place over there. He didn't. No, it'll be the way God says it will be when it's time. And oh my, He will make sure that there will be no mistaking the fulfillment of His word. Amen. Amen. You won't have to wonder, is this that? Right. You'll know God will vindicate it so. Mm-hmm. And oh my, in every aspect.
Yes.
Amen. If you want to, you can turn with me back over to 2 Peter in the 3rd chapter. And I'd like to read the beginning of that. As we started, we finished it. We read the tail end, but you sisters can come to the instruments if you would. Hey, man, I pray you get a little something out of it. It's, you know, it's a glorious time, saints.
Yes, sir.
It's a wonderful time. Mm-hmm. But we must guard against all this. We got, as Paul said in Hebrews, we got all these witnesses gathered around us.
Yes.
How we should lay aside every weight that would beset us and run this race that's set before us to finish it. Because they could see this day afar off. Many righteous men long to see the day in which we're living.
Yes.
And God granted you and I the opportunity to be here. Yes. Oh, what amazing grace to realize we could have lived at any other age. He could have placed me way back there. But He saw you and I here today. Yes. A special people, a peculiar people that's been called for a purpose to see the final stages of this manifested in our lives and to let Jesus Christ do that final work in these bodies.
Hallelujah.
Oh, may we truly yield ourselves to Him. But in 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, the second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by the way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Boy, don't just listen at the authority. Peter knew who he was speaking for. Of us apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust,
yes,
and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and earth that are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
Yes.
And oh, what a consolation it ought to give us in knowing He is not slack concerning His promises.
Amen.
Every one of them that lays in that Bible. You need a healing? He's not slack concerning His promise.
Amen.
You need a need met? He's not slack concerning His promise. You approach Him with the right motive and objective and take it to Him and see what God can do.
Amen.
Well, He knows exactly. Oh my, things happen for a reason every day in our lives just to give Him glory and to make Him big as He is. But don't ever fail for whatever He does for you to make sure that you take the time to say thank you, Lord. And all share for others what He's done for you. It says, the Lord is not, but the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness?
Hallelujah.
Looking for and hasting unto the coming day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we according to His promise, we look for a new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, and also in all his epistles, speaking in them these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they are unlearned and unstable, rest as they do other scriptures to their own destruction. But ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Yes. To him be glory now and forever. Amen. And oh, may we truly look to the author and the finisher of our faith.
Yes.
And truly have in ourselves that humble heart of a child to just truly desire the sincere milk of the word. And the meat to truly see ourselves sustained in his precious word. And not our ideas or someone else's idea, but Lord, reveal yourself unto me greater. The Lord, I would be one that would stand, just as Paul was able to stand. And to take the stand, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. And he told each one of us to hold fast the profession of your faith without wavering. And oh, may we truly be a people that can truly stand and stand some more with God's precious word and uphold it. And truly be a people that our lives are a living testimony, a true written epistle of God's word living and manifesting through us. Not a bunch of mouth worship, not a bunch of I'm this and I'm that. But may our lives truly be flowing over with the milk and the honey of the Holy Spirit,
yes,
flowing out from us unto others that others may see and want to drink. Amen.
Amen.
But oh, I want my Lord to be glorified. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I pray something could stir your heart. I pray you can take something from it, not too chopped up. A little Thursday evening, but you know God's word is so precious.
Yes, it is.
If you just get into the quietness of the Holy Spirit and just listen. As I said, as you're just listen to the prophet, if you'll just listen to, even if you're just truly set and listen as the Bible is read, and listen to what, and realize that's a letter that was written to you as an individual.
Yes, amen.
That was God speaking to you through the lips of a prophet or an apostle, writing those things. The holy men of God, moved by the Holy Ghost, wrote these things down. Oh my, this sure change your attitude when you're listening and looking at God's precious word. Amen.
Amen.
Let's all stand, if you would. Wonder if we could sing that little chorus, Just Any Day Now. Amen.
Just any day now, our Lord is coming. Be returning for you and me. Oh, I've been watching.
Many nuggets brought in there. Brother Timothy's got a way of bringing all kind of subjects out in just half hour. So we appreciate the word of God and just trust each one of us has been able to pick our portion out we've had need of and strengthen us. There should have been many portions in there to help us. And it's very strengthful to know these things and to have our minds renewed back to it. You know, it's just I'm just thankful and appreciative too that we're keeping the word, forsake not just assembling yourselves together. Even more so as you see that day approaching. He spoke so much about the appearing of the Lord and so forth. You know, we see that day approaching. And it's getting close now. Don't get distracted with anything. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Amen. Let us bow our heads. Kind Heavenly Father, we thank you from the depths of our heart that you've permitted us and, Lord, made it possible that we can gather in this little building tonight. Lord, to the world, this little place wouldn't mean nothing at all. But Lord Jesus, to us, it's just so precious. We are so thankful that you have blessed us with it. And we trust that we'll be able to take the word of God that's been given to us tonight. The Lord, it would encourage or strengthen, Lord, and guide us and cause us to press a little more, Lord, and to find our place in Christ as we should. We just appreciate the precious word of God tonight and ask that you'll just help it be applied in our lives above all things now. Just asking once more that you go with us as we travel to our homes. And those, Lord, especially that had to drive so far, keep your hand upon them, keep them safe. And Lord, may by your mercy and grace that we gather again, if you should tarry, Lord, this Sunday, and just come expecting and praying and asking you, Lord, for revelation. Lord, whatever we'd have need of, whatever our short place is, just may you reveal it to us, Lord. We ask this all again for your glory and that thy will would be done in our lives. Through the name of our Lord Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Praise his wonderful name. Do you love him?
Amen.
Amen. He's so wonderful. You're dismissed. May God bless you.